Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Dave. Awesome. Well, I am excited to be with you here today. And as I was pondering this today, I thought this is not a thing that I typically get super excited about. I confess to you all now. I don't give a lot of messages in this context, so I have some hesitation. But in light of what we're working through as a church, I thought it would be a good chance to step up and share and trust that God's going to put some stuff on my heart. So as going through the preparation for this, that exact thing happened, and I am thankful for this chance. This is a unique way to study something and encounter God in the preparation. So thank you. I'm excited. But in my regular life, I do talk a lot, and sometimes in front of people, and sometimes in front of larger groups of people. And I had to think to myself a little bit, why is this situation in this context different? Around campus, I might be talking about technology or various accounting things or facilities things. No problem. We do that all day. But what is it about speaking in this context that gives me a little bit more hesitation? So as I pondered that, I realized that I think a lot of that stems from we serve a really big God. And while I might think about technology things, I think, oh, yeah, I have a good, you know, understanding of the subject. I've been, you know, working with it for a while, and there's a lot of things to know, but it is, to some extent, you kind of get into a rhythm and you know various things about it and you can speak about it and things are great. But I realize with the bigness of God, when I speak in this context, it's as just someone that's on the journey with you rather than someone who has all of this figured out. And I know that's all of us, but that's where I kind of come to this. Also, in light of we were talking last week about the various big topics we encounter in our lives, we talked about those small topics, and Sarah made that list with all of us around the small things that are easy to talk about, like the weather and whatnot. And then we have those big topics that we tend to maybe shy away from, especially in certain contexts. I realize in talking about all things faith and God and who Jesus is to us, that can be fraught with disagreement along the way as God is leading us in different times and places as we're going. And so in light of that, I thought, what a great follow-up to last week's discussion. This is getting a chance to put into practice as we talk a little bit about little reconciliations in our life along the way. So my prayer is that I would share clearly, like Reed was saying, that God would add his understanding to these words. And if, or maybe when, I say something disagreeable in this context, I'm thankful for this community that we get to come together and work on that later. So hopefully I don't say anything like super scandalous, but there might be a little thing that you think, huh, I'm not sure about that. Or in my context and upbringing or experience, maybe something has been a little different. That's great. That's wonderful. And that is exactly why we're in community. And that's what we're digging into today. So we're talking a little bit about reconciliation today. And as I was pondering that, the picture that comes to my mind immediately is what I would think of as a big reconciliation, like the family intervention meeting with people sitting around a circle, you know, to maybe call you out on something big, that sort of reconciliation. But that's not quite where we're going today. We're going to be talking about little reconciliation. The same things are going to apply to a lot of big situations in our lives, too. But in the little reconciliation, these are little things where we might, as we're talking, we might discover we disagree on something. And that's okay. And that's what made that hard list of things that we were talking about last week maybe a little bit scarier. So we're going to dive in. And we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. So, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Excellent. So there are a lot of verses in there. As I started working on this, I thought, oh, I could stop there. It could be, you know, a little bit shorter, but then I thought, no, that one needs to be in there too. And it just kind of kept going. So a lot of verses there. So I pondered, what is reconciliation? And it's fresh on my mind in our campus context. We're in the middle of our financial audit, and the auditors are constantly asking us to reconcile this, reconcile that. It is a constant thing every day right now in this current season. Typically, when we talk about reconciliation, we're talking about literally looking at a list of transactions or balances on one side of the equation, and then maybe a different part of the equation where those things should add up and line up. And so that was the context that I was pondering in. Of course, sometimes we start working on that, and those two things are the same. Woohoo! That's great. I confess, that rarely happens, and there are various reasons along the way. When they're not the same, and they commonly aren't, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that means it's time to dig and try to figure out what we're looking at. Sometimes there are transactions that are missing from one side of the equation. I think, oh, okay, those aren't there. That makes sense. Sometimes we might encounter some entry errors. Oh, okay, we're humans. That sort of thing happens. Sometimes the difference is understandable, and we have to explain it. And our overall goal, again, if they're equal, fantastic. If not, can we fix it or change something on one side of the equation, something that might be missing? And if not that, maybe we can explain in a rational way why they're different. So, of course, in all of this, a known source of truth will aid in reconciliation. In my accounting context that we'll dive into here, that might be like a bank statement that should be fairly accurate. As you look at that, you've got a record of things that you're tying things up with. Now, we have been, as I pondered this, I thought, we have been doing a great job of training children in this for generations. So I know current children can do this, and I know probably a lot of us have encountered this along the way. And I realize I don't think I grabbed a clicker, but we're ready for the magic picture. So Sammy and Timmy, I think you're going to know exactly what to do with this. We've got two pictures up in front of us. Do you know what to do when there's two pictures? Is there something slightly different between them? Simon, have you seen one of these before? I see the people are trying to start to spot the differences. We got different scarves. Yeah. No bushes. Yeah. Ooh, that one's, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Quite a few things. I can't remember. The guide said there was like 11 things different in that picture. And I didn't go to the point of like counting all the leaves on the burning bush, but there might be some more there, maybe some missing leaves, some stars, the moon, that sort of thing. So this is a great example of reconciliation in the context that we're talking about. We might have two different things and maybe they're different. That doesn't have to be scary. We just work through the picture and kind of start talking it over. It's kind of fun to discover what might be different. If we're looking at this from an art perspective, you think, oh, I much prefer the one with the moon and the star. That's a nice picture. So good news, we've been looking at this sort of thing, a lot of us. This has been a common activity in our life. We could also think about kids, too. Kids are good at the context of reconciling, maybe as parents, how we might act versus how maybe what we tell them to do. We won't ask for examples, but that might be a fun experiment. So What is this worldly point of view? Paul talks about the flesh that's referenced in the middle that we aren't to regard others with any longer. I've thought of that. It's in that it's no longer living for ourselves, but for Christ. And a lot of times that might mean maybe giving up our comfort. That might mean considering what is good for the other person as we're chatting with someone. It might perhaps mean some humility along the way. There is maybe a chance that as we talk and discover differences, that maybe my position might need to change or be tweaked or be expanded with what I'm learning about you and how you've encountered something. And it might mean having a conversation without regard of what a person can offer or do for you. Realizing that as we talk with others in our midst, realizing that they are image bearers of God, that as we talk, we might encounter different opinions. And if we're just looking at people as what they might do for us or offer us, and you'd say, well, we've got different opinions, we'll go our separate ways, that's it. Instead, we can look at them as image bearers of God, and maybe they've been seeking God on that same subject, and he has led them to this spot. So we can encounter that with humility as we're talking with people. So where do we reconcile in our lives? There's lots of different contexts, but the first and very most important one we saw in verse 20 there, be reconciled to God. And Paul says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I loved that strong language of imploring someone to be reconciled to God. And that's key in all of this. Your relationship with God is a beautiful thing. He loves you just as you are, and simultaneously calls you to a higher standard of being more like him along the way. And that's a journey that we are all on. Our goal is Christ-likeness. We look at ourselves, we look at him, and we look for differences as we work with God to figure out what these differences are. As I'm considering my own life and maybe praying, saying, God, show me where I'm not Christ-like. Or if I encounter a person and I walk away, maybe it's top of mind and I think, ooh, feel a little conviction. Maybe that wasn't quite a Christ-like encounter. I can ask for forgiveness from maybe the person I was talking to. I can confess that to God, confess that to those I was working with, and work to change my behavior to be more Christ-like. In Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11, we read a little bit further. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Excellent. The part that starts there is being Christ-like, kicks off that whole verse there, and then goes into this beautiful description of Jesus and his life. And I think, man, that is a high calling and one we will pursue for our entire lives. When we reconcile ourselves to God, it might look like confession to God, to one another. It might look like prayer for being of the same mindset and likeness of Christ. It might look like community, like this, or these very cool new groups that you can sign up for. Very great. It might look like being in the Word and committing that to memory and spending time with God in that way. And I think it definitely looks like humility and openness, being ready to change, being ready to hear other people out. I admit to you all, there is probably a part in my life, or maybe parts, where I am wrong, where I am disobedient to God's Word when I discover that as I read. Or maybe even worse, ignoring parts of God's call on my life, that as I spend time with him in his word and in prayer, he might reveal those things to me. And I think, whoa, but I get that through spending time with him and working on this piece of reconciling, my life with God. Another place we reconcile is to each other in community. This is kind of what we were talking about last week. And it's an outpouring of that reconciliation that each of us has with God. We are going to disagree with each other on something. If you can't find anything that you disagree with someone on in this room, something is weird. So as we talk, maybe that means we need to have a little bit deeper conversations along the way. And instead of getting nervous and scared when we find something we might disagree on, even if it's a big, deep thing that we consider core to who we are, we can talk through it and say, wow, this is an interesting thing. As I have those conversations, I need to know that I'm pursuing my relationship with God. I need to trust that the other person in our community is pursuing their relationship with God, and he's speaking and working on both of us, and we're both in different places. The church that in my mind, sometimes I think that I would like to attend, where everyone agrees with me all the time on everything. The more I thought about that, I thought, for one, what a boring church. That would not be a great spot to be. For two, I don't know that there's a way to grow in that place if everyone is believing the exact same things as me on every single subject. We need each other to sharpen each other and maybe to challenge some ideas along the way. And I think that church might be kind of a lonely place that, I don't know that I would like a spot where everyone just kind of looks like me. So when we do disagree for ourselves, we need to consider our relationship with God and ask for wisdom. I'm going to make a very clear point. We're not considering and evaluating the other person's relationship with God. That could probably be a whole another message, but start with yourself. Plank out of your own eyes, sort of thing. With humility, we can perhaps ask if God is showing you something new through this other person. And remembering that God is at work on all of us, ourselves included, maybe especially. So last week, as we were talking on hard conversations, on our list of easy conversations, we had things like the weather, some family things, sort of, depending on context, hobbies, etc. And I wonder if we find these things easier, because there's probably, if we're talking afterwards and I say, Rich, I'm big into pickleball, I have a pretty good gamble that Rich is not an anti-pickleball protester. That's a pretty safe topic. I don't think he's going to call me out on my love of pickleball. I'd love to play more pickleball, but that's just an example. I think that's what makes those topics safe. There's not really things that might affect someone else's lives. They're easy to talk about. Great. Wonderful. I don't think we'd find someone who can't stand people who cook sourdough. I don't think we can find someone that said, I can't believe you can't believe it's not raining outside. It's summertime. So maybe we avoid those harder conversations because they might, or definitely, will lead us to practicing reconciliation with each other, which is and can be a hard thing, especially when we're out of practice with that. These around this room, if you were like me, around this room, these are people that I care about. I don't want to bring something up that might cause some separation. But in reality, the relationship is so much stronger when maybe we do bring those things up and work through them together to share that and be in community. Maybe I get nervous because I care about you and what you think about me. Or maybe it's because I'm afraid of what I might find out about you or you about me along the way. Is it because I might learn that you believe, do, or think something that our cultural narrative has told me is our enemy? Or is it way easier to dodge hard reconciling and understanding conversations? But that is the key to resolving big and small things. Outside these walls, we're also called for reconciliation. We're called ambassadors of Christ in that verse, helping others repair relationships. Whether that's big or small reconciliation in our world is a core thing that we do. And how we conduct ourselves when we encounter a disagreement or misalignment between ourselves and others or to others. Do we conduct ourselves as ambassadors, like 2 Corinthians said? Do we conduct ourselves as representing Christ, bringing the fruits of the Spirit to that conversation? Or do we just become another shouting voice with our own opinion without taking that time in community to understand each other and maybe where the other person's coming from? In this season, inside and outside these walls, you're going to find places you disagree with others. And in the midst of that, seek wisdom and proceed humbly. There's lots of places in this life where I think reconciliation can happen. And I think a wonderful, beautiful, ideal context for that is within our church body here and as we go out into the world. I think there are some real challenges with reconciliation via social media. As you explore, that is a place where it's easy to become a shouting voice. And I'm sure if we glance at social media, there are all sorts of shouting voices. But in the midst of that, I think we find that reconciliation maybe perhaps best happens at the small scale, one-on-one or within groups of trusted community, and with those we have a relationship around us. I don't doubt that God can absolutely work through social media, and maybe reconciliation can happen there. But in general, I think it's best face-to-face. So now, a topic that's near and dear to my heart, some accounting tips on reconciliation. And these might work with ourselves as we're working with others, too. So, step one, seek truth. Like I mentioned before, the bank statement is a wonderful piece of maybe hopefully mostly truth that you're working to tie your account balances back to. Don't skip that first step of reconciling yourself to God and allowing him to shape you in all of this. This is one of those things that it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily mindset of figuring out how to work towards that same mindset of Christ. Second accounting tip for reconciliation, be humble. Errors happen. There might just be a sliver of possibility that I made a mistake along the way. And so in that, be humble. Serve others along the way. And consider your own errors that might be in there. There is a time and a place probably for working with other people on their issues, but that's not this message. This message is about those little disagreements that we might have along the way or things we learn. Instead, we approach things with curiosity instead of accusation. How did you get there? Where did that idea or belief develop along your life? Maybe there's a backstory there or an angle to God's mercy that you hadn't experienced before, and we can be sharpened through our conversations with each other around that exact thing. Another accounting tip on reconciliation is knowing both sides of the equation you're working with so you can identify those discrepancies. And that starts, like we said earlier, with me knowing me and my heart. For me to be reconciled with God, I need to know God. I need to spend time in the Word, prayer, and in community. And spiritual disciplines are key in that, in understanding our spiritual gifts. When I encounter God and get to know him, I get to know myself along the way. So, getting to know ourselves is a big piece of reconciliation. So we're going to pause for some mid-message prayer. I've got three psalms specifically about knowing ourselves. So if you'll pray with me, we'll pray through these three fairly slowly-ish, and we'll carry on. God, would you guide us today and throughout this week? Help us know ourselves, God, and even more than just knowing who we are, God, help us know who you say we are. This morning we read together Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In Psalm 51, verse 3, it says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Psalm 69:5 says, "You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you." God, would you use these verses this week and other pieces of your word to help us know ourselves in light of who you say we are. Help us know our transgressions. Search us, God, and know our hearts. Amen. Obviously, in both accounting reconciliation and people reconciliation, alignment can be a wonderful thing. There is a fantastic feeling when you've got two different sets of transactions and you add them up, and all is as it should be. The numbers line up. Everything's wonderful. Your work is done. You can close it out for the day and walk away knowing that everything lines up. And that works really great with numbers. That's probably a little bit more of a challenge with people along the way. So we seek to understand where we have differences. As we work with auditors, they're commonly satisfied with an explainable misalignment. Maybe this or piece, this or that piece, we don't have to necessarily have both agreeing on certain things. But maybe this or that piece is missing from here because of this reason. Or maybe a life experience has led this to be over here. When we know that something's misaligned, we can accept that it's misaligned, or we can work on fixing that thing. Sarah and I, every once in a while, get the joy of doing pre-marriage mentoring with young couples that are getting ready to get married. And we find that just talking about things helps us to get to know each other as new couples are getting to know each other. And it's not necessarily that there's a magic curriculum or we're bringing all this, like, I mean, we bring maybe a little bit of wisdom to the table, but not as fancy as it sounds. In the midst of that, it's the talking about things together that builds and strengthens that community of two young people that are getting married, or other people as they're working through differences together, that having that conversation, especially before things are heated and knowing each other, gives that additional context that strengthens the relationship. So be curious. Work to understand each other, their position, how they got there, the backstory, what's God doing in their heart, how did he lead them there? And that might go a long way in maintaining relationships. So, key things for today. We can accept that 100% agreement on everything always is a lie, and that is what it is. Knowing God, focus on your relationship with him, constantly discovering misalignments and praying for more likeness with Christ. Know yourself. In the season of discussions on big topics, as we see in the news and all around us in community, probably plenty of things you have opinions on. Search yourself and ask how, why, and where those opinions came from. It's a great time for some soul searching. Know others around you. Pray for them. Know them. Know where they stand and why they stand there. Even if there are some differences, maybe even big differences along the way, accept and realize that God is working on all of them and all of our hearts, and pray that we might both be more conformed to Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the challenge to know you better, to be conformed to your likeness. As we go about the various things that we have in front of us this week, we just pray that you would guide us in that. Keep that forefront in our mind. Guide us in that. Help us know ourselves in the midst of this. God, would you reveal to each of us individually where we might not be exhibiting Christ-likeness? Would you challenge us in that? Would you draw us closer to you, God, and would you show us a more excellent way? And God, in community, we thank you for this context. Thank you for a chance to have a community in front of us where we can have differing opinions on various things. Thanks for the chance to hold each other in community, to see you at work in each other's lives, and to follow you through that. So we pray all this in your name. Amen.